number three. There is a lot going on now all around the world, but one of the biggest is the current activity in the Vatican and Rome with the Catholic Church. We're going to hear about that in detail this hour as much as we can. It's a synod on synodality. Father Kramer, did I get that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. Our guest here is the eminent and world-respected and renowned Father Paul Kramer, who is, without question, one of the two or three people standing up, and I think he was the first without question in that regard, to point out the simple fact that this pope is a fraud. He's an anti-pope. I don't even know what he is. He is not one of us. We know about the story, and if you didn't hear it, Pope Benedict XVI was the pope, and he was deposed in an overthrow and literally held prisoner for the last 9 years of his life in the Vatican. He died about a year ago, I think now, something like that. And this pope from Argentina, we call him Bergoglio, that's his name, is one of the worst tools of the New World Order globalist regime that you could ever imagine. Father Kramer published something, I believe it was today. He is holding the front line almost single-handedly now. Bergoglio endorses the agenda of international environmentalist tyranny that will bring about the worldwide famine ahead and the starvation of billions of people. And that's true. He went on to write, did Father Kramer, Bergoglio today has pronounced his adherence to the United Nations environmentalist ideology, which incrementally intends to usher in pantheistic nature worship and the forbidding of the Holy Mass, the eating of meat, and Christian marriage. It gets worse. Just think about what I just said. This thing is awful. So the synod, S-I-N-O-D, on synodality, underway right now in the Vatican, was called to order with a threat that anyone who's attending had better keep his mouth shut about the proceedings. There was a gag order issued by the anti-pope, I guess his office, that no one was allowed to disclose what was happening in this synod of synodality. Father Kramer, take it away.
You could see that something is amiss from that very fact that silence, the rule of silence, is being opposed. This has never happened in the history of the church, that you have a synod or a council that is closed, entirely closed to the public. Not just closed. This is not just behind closed doors. But they've given the order of silence. And I believe they have to make an oath not to to reveal anything of the proceedings.
It's hard to believe. 1.2 billion Catholics being held in the dark, right? No knowledge, no information from this. This is like a constitutional convention, if it were to be held in the United States, the same thing. They're going to go in and rewrite the basic mechanics, apparently, of much of the Catholic religion. What is their goal there? Now, I know what their public goal is, so to speak, but what in reality is going on there, Father Kramer, with this synod of synodality? What are they doing there? What's your best guess? And you've got sources that nobody else has.
Well, what they intend to do is as I said previously, to reform the Catholic Church out of existence and create a new church entirely. They won't say it openly, and they make changes incrementally so that people won't be too alarmed. This we saw already with the Second Vatican Council.
Right.
And what is very interesting there, what very interesting point there was, as I've mentioned in the past, Cardinal Samuel Stritch was called to Rome in 1957. Pope Pius XII opened and read the Third Secret of Fatima. Cardinal Stritch heard it. He entrusted the details of what he had heard of the Third Secret of Fatima to Father Lawrence Emmett Hughes. Father Hughes spoke about a movement in the church that will happen soon. And what happened soon was the Constitution on the Liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium, to reform. This would be a movement to reform the Mass. Now, the reforms started as very small, and then Pope Paul VI introduced a new rite of Mass in 1969, and Cardinal Stritch pointed out that these incremental changes, this will all lead to the abolition of the Mass itself.
Yeah, Father Kramer, they use that word reform. It sounds like a good word, a nice, reasonable change for the better, reform. But au contraire, that it's diabolical, the use of the word and how they're meaning it. They're going to tear this all down and revise it, rebuild it in a Bolshevik communist framework, essentially, and they're changing the whole tenor of the Catholic religion. That's what's on the table here. Go ahead, please.
Well, this has been happening since the 1960s. The Masonic party in the church, which was in the lead of the progressive movement in the church, they are the ones who gave impetus to these so-called reforms. There have been popes who were great reformers in the past ages. They made proper reforms. But now they're taking a good word and they're misusing it in an evil way to disguise what they're really doing. They're calling these things just reforms in order to conceal the fact that these are not reforms. This is a revolution.
Correct. Yep. The word has been corrupted and perverted. Now the way they're using it, it's all stealth. All of this, nothing is out in the open. I don't know what. Who else is standing up to this beside you? You've got a couple of people you know. Vigano is one.
Archbishop, yes. He's come out and said that Bergoglio's election to the papacy was invalid. He's actually said that.
That's very brave and very correct. Yeah. All right. So we have Archbishop Vigano, and who else is standing up? I mean, you've got the crosshairs are on you, and I'm surprised Vigano said that, but he did, and that's good. It's the truth. You've been saying that since we first began doing these programs, the fraud nature of the papacy now and how it was all overthrown, and you deserve a lot of credit. You're very brave about this.
There's Bishop, the retired Bishop Gracida. He's like he's already past age 90. Bishop Gracida, I think El Paso, Texas, if I remember correctly, his former diocese. Then there's a Polish Archbishop, Legna, who has been very outspoken, saying that Bergoglio is not a valid pope, that he's a heretic. So there
Father
are some.
Kramer, have you gotten any direct threats from anybody yet, because you've been so honestly outspoken about this whole outrage?
I have not.
Good. Maybe someone is protecting you, I would think. That's very good.
I would think so. Someone not of this world.
That's right. That's right. All right, so how long will this synod go on, this corruption that's happening there? What are we, another week? What are we talking about?
This will last until almost the end of the month, I think, about the 25th of October. Mm-hmm. That's not the scheduled end of the synod. The synod is supposed to finish next year.
Really?
Yes. So this is not the end of the synod.
It's a work in progress then. Okay.
That's right. It will be interesting to see what will be the final document of this synod at the end of this month.
They will have to release some formal document explaining what the whatever the new protocols and procedures are. They're going to have to say it at some point. I understand. Between now and then, I wouldn't be surprised if you picked up a few things from maybe some sources that are on the inside. We'll see.
Oh, we may be hearing some things, what I think is the reason why all the silence is because a synod, what it should be, a synod is an act of the church, after all.
Right.
It is something that is of a public nature. You look at the councils in the past history, the proceedings were open. Many famous councils going back to the Council of Ephesus that you it was open to the Catholic lay people could come in and witness the proceedings like a public courtroom,
right?
Because the bishops are not dictators. They are the pastors of the faithful. The faithful are members of the church. They represent the entire church, the bishops who take part in a true legitimate synod.
Mm-hmm.
And they act on behalf of the whole church. And that's why it's the very nature of the thing that it should be open to the public so that the people, the Catholic people, can see what is being discussed about the church at the Second Vatican Council. There were constant reports about the proceedings of what was taking place in the council. It was day after day, the proceedings were made public. This is entirely contrary to the nature of a gathering that is supposed to be representing the entire church. The whole thing is a fraud. I'll put it that way. The whole thing is a fraud because a council or a synod. For example, if you have a local synod or a regional synod, all the bishops of that region or that country or whatever,
right,
that group of dioceses, they come together and they discuss the matters, they make the resolutions, the decisions, and then it's finalized. But that's not what's happening here. Now you get to the reason why all the silence, because there is an agenda that's going to be forced. This whole thing has been orchestrated, choreographed, scripted, with a predetermined result at the end. This is not going to be an act of the church. The bishops are going to have something rammed down their throats. The Catholic bishops who are taking part are in a minority because Bergoglio and his infidels, his apostates, his gang of apostates, they were invited. And this is how Bergoglio organizes things. He always has to have the majority in his favor. So To give the appearance that this is the church acting, this is not Bergoglio the dictator. This is not Bergoglio the dictator pope.
Yeah.
But this is an act of the church. But it's not an act of the church. But he wants it to appear like an act of the church, not to be an act of a dictator, or a dictatorial gang of pirates.
This is a regime now, is what it is. It's
yes.
A regime that has taken control, at least for the moment, of the entire mechanism at the top. They're frauds. They're dangerous frauds. And just to go back to the beginning, the note from Vatican City officials to the world that said participants of the Synod on Synodality have all been ordered to observe complete secrecy about everything they and others say during all the parts of the Synod that are not shown on the Vatican's YouTube channel. Okay, the rules came down, as you heard Father Kramer discuss. This is unprecedented. They've been ordered to observe perpetual secrecy about the discussions. So whatever ultimate document comes out of this is very likely to be a bombshell. We will see. Go ahead, Father Kramer.
We can expect that. It will be interesting to see the wording, because sometimes, especially with today's Vatican, the devil is in the details. They can make it sound innocuous, mundane, no big deal.
They're very good at that. Yes, yes, yes.
And then you read, carefully, and you see that they're throwing everything out that the church has held sacred for 2,000 years.
This is really a huge, huge moment in history, what's going on now. And it will go on for weeks yet. You expect a document to be released by the end of the month, then, explaining what the general parameters are, the new reform parameters of the church will be?
Well, that's what they've done in the past, and they will do it again. At the end of the session of the synod, they will come out with a document. But you won't hear how they arrived at this, because it's going to be something that is imposed. It's going to be all kinds of strong-arm tactics that are going to be used, the blackmail threats, and everything that they can throw at the bishops to wring compliance out of them.
Right.
Because this gang in charge, they are ruthless dictators. They are not Christian in any sense of the word, and they have no respect for the Catholic faith.
Wow. Powerful words of truth. You wrote in one of your recent releases, Bergoglio's synodal church is not Christian, but Gnostic. Gnosticism is an ancient heresy that existed in apostolic times and even before in Old Testament times. It is what Belloc called the permanent trouble of the human mind. That's quite a statement. The permanent trouble of the human mind. So the overthrow has largely been accomplished. We'll see what happens. Anything you want to add to that statement you wrote about his synodal church? It's not Christian, it's Gnostic. And that's correct.
The thing about Gnosticism is that the Christianity in it is all window dressing. It is a distorted, superficial sort of Christianity, but the substrate, the very structure that holds it up, the infrastructure, the foundation, it is all it is something very ancient. It is paganism. And that's why it is that's how ancient it is, because it is paganism. It is not just older than Christianity, it is older than Judaism.
Wow.
It is older than the Mosaic Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It is pagan. It is the worst kind of paganism.
Yeah. I have no doubt. Archbishop Vigano canceled by Catholic traditionalists for saying Pope Francis intended from the beginning to destroy the Catholic Church. Well, that was something that Father Kramer said exactly. Archbishop Vigano, not the first to say it, but he took a lot of heat for it. That's why I asked if you've been threatened or anything. That was another interesting news story to see.
Some of these Catholic traditional groups have really gone astray on this point of the papacy, the nature of the papacy. They don't understand that a man who is not a Catholic cannot be pope. If he's elected pope, they've fallen into a simple legalism.
Yeah.
A papalatrous pope worship. So that as long as you have a conclave that elects a man pope, that means he is made the pope by God, and he's the pope over the church, and that can't be questioned. There's a priest, I believe, in Italy, who came out with an article explaining that the question is now settled. The legislation made by John Paul II upholds the validity of the papal election, and therefore, if a man is elected pope, there is no way his election can ever be questioned. And he goes back to a piece of legislation that's a clause on simony, which is the purchasing, the paying for ecclesiastical offices. If a man pays money to become a bishop, that's the crime of simony. The thing about that is that you can't take a law on simony or a law on papal elections in general and say that means every papal election is therefore valid.
Mm-hmm.
There are invalidating factors that can render an election invalid. Now, if a pope makes legislation that prevents those invalidating factors from invalidating, then they are no longer considered. For example, if a man is secretly commits a crime and is excommunicated for that crime, previously it would be said the man was under excommunication, and if it's found out later on that he was under excommunication, he could not be validly elected pope. So Pope Pius XII issued legislation that for secret crimes, any penalty is withdrawn at the moment the cardinals enter into conclave. And that was so that if a man is elected pope, you couldn't have people standing up and saying, no, he's not the true pope because he was invalidly elected. He committed this crime. He committed that crime. He was excommunicated, and therefore he's not the pope. In order to prevent that sort of thing, Pope Pius XII made that kind of legislation. So if a man, for example, joined the sect of Freemasonry, but it was done secretly, he would be excommunicated. But his vote would not be invalidated in the conclave because the penalty would fall when he goes into conclave. Now, that kind of legislation does not validate an invalid election. And the way I pointed it out in my response, I don't know if it's going to be published, but I did write a response today, in fact.
Well, I'll be publishing it here as soon as I get it. So we'll do it.
Well, it would need some corrections. I pasted together my previous notes, so there is some mm-hmm. repetition. It's not as clean a document as I would like. But
well,
my
let me know when it's ready for prime time, and I'll be certainly happy to post it. No problem. We'll get it out there.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. Anyways, the first thing I pointed out was that legislation that upholds the validity of election does not mean all elections are valid. It's a simple error in logic, and I can't believe that this priest would be so stupid to put it bluntly. For a man to be elected pope validly, not only do the election laws have to be observed,
mm-hmm.
but the man has to be valid matter for election. In other words, it has to be a person who was legally qualified to become pope. And that means if it is a person who is mentally retarded, a lunatic, or if it is if the person is a woman, they are disqualified from the papacy. They are incapable of becoming pope. A person who is incapable of becoming pope cannot be validly elected pope. So if a conclave were to elect a person who is not eligible to be pope, then that person cannot be pope. He cannot receive the papacy. God Understood. Will not throw the papacy on him just because he's elected. Mm-hmm. He has to have that basic qualification to be eligible, and that is the person has to be of sound mind to be able to be freely accept. The person has to be able to freely accept the election. He has to be a baptized Catholic, a baptized Catholic male. Mm-hmm. And he has to be capable of consenting to becoming consecrated, being ordained a priest and consecrated a bishop. Because as pope, he has to be a bishop to actually become pope. He's pope elect, and if he's not a bishop, he's pope elect, and he doesn't actually receive the jurisdiction of the papacy until he's consecrated a bishop. And that, and then the acts that he signed and decreed before his consecration to the episcopacy would then become valid upon his being consecrated bishop. So it's a very simple matter that a heretic like Bergoglio, he's publicly defected from the Catholic faith a long time ago, and there are papal decrees going back centuries and centuries. Pope Paul IV decreed that if it's discovered that a man is a heretic, then even if the whole church were to be accepting him as pope, he's mm-hmm. not the pope. He is an invalid pope. He's simply to be cast aside. And Paul IV issued an excommunication against anyone who would submit in obedience to that false pope, to that heretic anti-pope. So this now, pro-Masonic writers are saying that, well, that was just a disciplinary decree, and that's no longer in force, and therefore it is not to be considered, but that's not true. The 1917 Code of Canon Law was worded in such a way so as not to strike down that law. And the man who gave the explanation was Cardinal Pietro Gasparri. He was the general secretary. He was the editor of the Code of Canon Law. So he had very intimate knowledge as to what was the thought process that went into constructing the canons and statutes of the Code of Canon Law. And he said it was deliberately written in such a way so as not to strike that down. Now, the reason for that, of course, is because that provision is based on divine law. This is simply the church's law giving ecclesiastical formality to mm-hmm. what is theologically known to be the law of God, that a heretic is not a valid pope. The greatest theologians in the history of the church are unanimous on this point, that a heretic is incapable of becoming pope, and that God will not permit a heretic to become a valid pope.
He's not valid, just like we don't have a valid president in these formerly United States at all. This is an unelected, illegitimate president whom they claim received 83 million votes, more votes than any presidential candidate in American history. It's a very, very dark joke. Pope Francis is now singling out the U.S. as the number one culprit behind climate change. So that's part of his globalist marching orders. He's doing what the global elite want. He's a tool. He came in and he pushed aside Pope Benedict the 16th, as we mentioned, and he's taken over. Archbishop Vigano, as we mentioned also, is pointing out now in the open, as is Father Kramer, that Francis is seriously may not be the Pope. He's not the Pope. He's the anti-Pope. He's a fraud. The church has been taken over. I don't know how big the schism is. I don't know how much heavyweight firepower you have on your side of this outrage, Father Kramer, but something must be done to oppose this. I don't know how, I don't know by whom, but it's as wrong as it gets.
That's true. And for the moment, we've got to at least wait till the end of the month and see how this plays out, because there are bishops and there are cardinals who are not going to stand for such an attack on the Catholic faith and on the Catholic Church as such to take place from within. What they are doing, they start as an enemy within, but when they let their lies, their diabolical doctrines become public, by that very act, they are separating themselves visibly from the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. They are becoming a visibly false church, and that's when you're going to have cardinals and bishops speaking out when that happens.
I hope it comes soon. Francis is also now lambasting climate deniers, he calls them, climate deniers. He's an obvious globalist dupe. He's doing what he's told.
Well, there are so many Catholics who are mystified. They're saying, well, if this man is the Pope, why is he talking about climate change? This is not the gospel of
exactly.
Jesus Christ. This is not something that represents our Catholic religion. This is something for politicians, for the United
right.
Nations or whatever, but it's not something for the church. And they're mystified.
No.
Well, why is he doing this? Well, they need to be enlightened about why he's doing this. The reason why he's doing this is because, after all, it is not the Catholic religion, but it is his Bergoglian religion. This is part of his religion, the globalism, the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations, nature worship. This is part of nature worship, which is the outer porch to the temple of satanic worship. It starts with nature worship. This is something purely pagan and Gnostic, and this is part of his religion. Nature is his god. That's why he took the idol of the Pachamama, the South American goddess, the pagan South American goddess, had a sacrifice offered in the Vatican to this pagan idol. And with the very lame excuse given that it's not really pagan worship. Well, that's rather absurd. That's if offering incense to the Roman gods was not pagan worship, then neither is what Bergoglio allowed to be done in the Vatican. No, he took part in the ceremony. He was there. Nature worship, that's his religion. And that's the new religion that's going to be coming out of the Vatican. And that's what this synod is about, ultimately. But first, they have to reform the Catholic Church out of existence, remove the proper Christianity from the Church, and replace it with a pseudo-Christian, but fundamentally pagan religion in its place. It happens incrementally by stages, because they can't throw out and out overt paganism at the Catholic people all at once. They have to be seduced little by little.
Got
Otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, it's like the frogs in the water. If you turn up the heat slow.
Yes. I get it.
They'll boil, they'll cook, and they won't know they're being cooked. But if you throw them into hot water, they'll jump out immediately. And this is what Bergoglio and his gang are trying to avoid. To be ousted in the counter-revolution. That's why they have all the secrecy, and that's why they incrementally, gradually impose this wickedness, this absolute abomination of anti-Christian religion to replace this diabolical corruption in the place of the true Catholicism, the true Catholic Apostolic Church, the true Apostolic Catholic religion that has existed since the time of the apostles and their immediate successors and the ancient fathers, to be replaced with this abominable pagan filth that Bergoglio is attempting to impose as a counterfeit successor of the apostles under his supposedly apostolic authority. He would introduce all this pagan filth, and it will be enacting into the laws of the new church, the United Nations Agenda 2030, population reduction, population control.
Do you think that they'll actually adopt the 2030 protocols as a recognized fact or a fait accompli on the planet, as something to be paid attention to? How are they going to handle these things? It looks to me, in short, that the church has been weaponized by the globalist elite to take 1.2 billion people wherever they want. They're going to try to misdirect them. And I think you're, of course, right. This will all be done in incremental stages. So the first formal document that comes out of this synod will be very important and looked at extremely closely to see how the movements are beginning to be laid out. This is like battle. It's tactician work. And I think you're going to see tactics.
The one who foretold this more than 100 years ago was Pope Pius X. Pope Pius X issued, I'm not sure now what year it was, but it was in the early 20th century,
right.
The very early 20th century, Pope Pius X issued an apostolic letter called Notre Charge Apostolique. And in that apostolic letter, he said that they are preparing a one-world church, a one-world religion. Mm-hmm. It's one-world religion that will be neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, and it will impose oppression on all the working classes of the world. This is happening.
They weaponized the church, of course. Yeah. He's right.
And in 1920, his immediate successor, Pope Pius X died in 1917. His successor was Pope Benedict XV. And in 1920, Pope Benedict XV spoke of those who would set up a world republic. And he said, and that these are the worst, the very worst of people, the most corrupt, worst of people who want to set up in the world a global republic, a world republic. And that was in a published decree of Pope Benedict XV. I've forgotten the name of it.
Right. Here's another story. These stories are coming out more often than I thought they would. Cardinals Burke and Mueller condemn Pope Francis, the anti-Pope Francis, support for same-sex blessings and for communion for adulterers. So there are voices joining yours now. This is important. Cardinals Burke and Mueller. You saw the story.
Yes. Well, this is all part of the UN agenda for sexual diversity, population
sexual
reduction.
Perversion. Yes.
Yeah, diversity. Sexual perversion.
Yeah.
They call it sexual diversity.
Yeah.
It's all aimed at eliminating the very primary purpose of marriage. Why did God institute the marriage between man and woman from the very beginning?
Uh-huh.
Of course,
uh-huh.
for the propagation of the human race. And
right.
This is being removed as the purpose of marriage. They're going to have right. something. They're going to have some other institution. They're going to call it marriage, but it's going to have nothing to do with the reproductive faculty of the human race. Is that the procreation and education of children, of course, is the primary purpose of marriage. Why God instituted marriage for that purpose. But in the new concept of marriage coming out of the United Nations, nothing reproductive is going to be in the new kind of marriage, and
right.
that's why they're pushing all this gender ideology and having children take puberty blockers and things like that, and okay. undergoing this mutilation. They call it transition.
Absolute satanic. By any measure, all of those things. Horrible. The war on children and the war on childhood is unbelievably satanic, in my view. I've never seen anything
and
like it.
It sterilizes these children. They're going to grow up, and they're going to have to spend the rest of their life sterile. They'll never
That's
be
right.
able to have children.
No. Well, not to mention the psychological disaster that'll completely cripple them for life as well. Who are they will never be resolved in their own minds. I don't know what I am. There are going to be a lot of suicides among these poor. Oh, and by the way, Father Kramer, the whole trans business in the U.S. is now a $2+ billion a year enterprise in this country. And it is said within the next 2 or 3 years, they expect that to double to being over $4 billion a year in transsexual surgeries, counseling, instruction, literature, videos, all of it. And I never thought in the beginning it would gain any traction. I am shocked and appalled that it has. It's not going to go away. They're going to make it stick. They're going to force it on us. That's what their game
yes.
is.
They are pushing this. And after about 7 years, these people who undergo these adolescents who undergo these kind of procedures, they become suicidal. And there's a high rate of suicide among them.
Yes,
about
there is.
7 years later.
Already, I know. It's going to get worse. This is, again, the war on children and the war on childhood is as evil as I can imagine. If you've ever been, any of you listening, out with your children, watching the awe and wonder they have when they're experiencing the world around them for the first time, and as their early years go by, you understand that is golden, and it is innocent, and it is wonderful. And the war on that is now in full swing, propagated and pervaded by the mainstream media all over the Western world, probably all over the whole world now, too. It's bad. It's just bad out there.
Well, the Apostle Paul wrote how they would give themselves over to the doctrines of devils, mm-hmm. and they will be forbidding to marry and forbid the eating of meat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now they're talking about we shouldn't be eating meat because of the carbon footprint. It's a.
I know.
As if the carbon from a volcanic eruption is far exceeding astronomically exceeding any amount of carbon that farmers will
far
bring to the world through their
it's a,
through
it's
their
a complete fraud. It's a fraud. Another fraud.
It's a fraud.
Only
total
given life by the corrupt media. That's how they do it.
Bergoglio is pushing this rubbish.
Right.
This garbage. And In the Irish language, it's the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland in the past was Leo Varadkar, homosexual Prime Minister, who was saying that the Irish people should not be eating so much meat. And this country is an agricultural country. I mean, we have sheep everywhere.
Yes.
Lamb is a big industry here, and I mean, just the last 2 days, that's what I had for dinner. Lamb. That's what's for dinner in Ireland. And they're saying we shouldn't be eating meat.
That's the globalist doctrine. The globalists are trying to get rid of meat as a dietary staple all around the world. That's for sure. They're coming up all these laboratory-created synthetic meats that probably are oncogenic, and they'll give you cancer. They're awful.
They created this environmental movement for the purpose of introducing these prohibitions, essentially to stop the human race from reproducing, to forbid marriage, and right. to exterminate, to reduce the population, to starve people, to reduce the production of food through the environmentalism and the production of meat and such, and also farming for crops. They want to bring nature back to its pristine state. But the science, the so-called science, this climate science, this environmentalistic science, where did it come from? It didn't start from scientists. It started from people who, the high and mighty super rich, who paid for these think tanks to cook up these ideas. And they said already decades ago, this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a science. We're going to fund the sciences, the university faculties, to produce science that says what we want them to say. And they started this. I remember back in 1972, the environmental movement already started being propagated, like in university campuses. I saw it with my own eyes back in 1972. I was at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and I saw the environmental propaganda coming out then. Mm-hmm. Where does this come from? This idea of reducing the population, human reproduction is something evil, that the eating of meat is evil. Well, you go back to the Middle Ages, and the heresy that threatened the entire Western civilization, the European civilization at the time, was a form of Gnosticism. It was Manichaean. There was a man by the name of Mani in ancient time who was the founder of the sect. Saint Augustine was one of their members before he converted to Catholicism. Eventually, when the Roman Empire became a Catholic institution, a Catholic monarchy, and the Manichaeans were banished into the Balkans. During the Crusades, the Crusaders picked up this heresy and brought it back into the rest of Europe, and it reflourished again under the name of Albigensianism, Catharism, right. But it was the same Manichaeanism. This the dualism. It goes this ancient era Pythagorean dualism. It's that spirit is good, matter is evil, and what was evil was because the human body is material. It's matter. Reproduction is bad. It's evil. Meat is evil. Reproduction is evil. Wine is evil. All these things, any kind of physical pleasure is evil because it's of the body. Spirit alone is good. This is a diabolical error. God, when God created heaven and earth and he created the human race and all the animals and the plants, he said, all this, and God said it was all good. But Gnosticism says it's evil.
Father Kramer, last quick question. We're out of time here, but just a real quick question. How big is the schism now at the highest level of the church? How big? You're a key part in it. You're not in the Vatican per se, but that's irrelevant. How big is go ahead.
This is going to be the greatest schism in the entire history of the church. What percentage are going to defect into the false new Gnostic pseudo-Catholicism of Bergoglio? I can't give you numbers. I can't say the percentage-wise.
Right.
What is happening? What is happening? There are three things that can happen. The three things that will happen. You will have the dupes, who are so many, who will say, well, the Pope is infallible. The Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. We have to obey him. We have to follow him. He says that the previous dogmas and the previous faith were wrong, and that this new approach is to be followed, and they'll accept it.
Right.
Then you're going to have the dissident group. Many of the Catholic traditionalists are falling into this error. They're going to say, "Well, he's the Pope, and unless they'll say either he cannot be deposed, he's the Pope, and we just have to pray for him," or they'll say a church council has to depose him, and otherwise he's still the Pope, even though he's a heretic, even though he's not a Catholic, it's the legalism. Until there's this legal decree from the church saying he's no longer Pope, we have to accept him as Pope and just, as they say, recognize and resist. This is a diabolical error. Error. Thirdly,
we have 30 seconds. That's it, Father Kramer. Go ahead.
On the right path, those who are on the right path who understand. The teaching of the great doctors of the church, St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Alphonsus Liguori, and it goes back to Pope Innocent III and even before him, that if the Pope is not a Catholic, if he has a different religion and he is visibly, publicly of a different faith than the Catholic faith, he is not the Pope. And Pope Innocent III says such a Pope is to be judged and cast out. He's to be deposed because he's not a true Pope. He's not a true Pope. He's an alien.
Understood. Well said. We'll watch this very closely. Father Kramer, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. And for all of you out there listening, we will bring you up to speed at that point, and I'll be publishing Father Kramer's writings in the meantime as they become available. Thank you very much for being here. Been really informative. Thank you, Father Kramer.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. That's it. We've got to wrap it up for tonight. Close up shop. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Take care. And try to prepare.